Say with Stacius Lee, everyone here. Call this meeting to order. But first of all, we'd like to acknowledge some of the passings of our tribal members within the community. Acknowledging Joanne Skinnendorf, Sharon Jorgensen, and Romy Dockstader, as well as sending prayers out to the families with those that have fallen ill or are of bad health right now. So I'd like to begin with a roll call, followed by an opening by Michaela. Is she still here? But we'll start with a roll call. Patty?
Patty Hefter.
Greg Mattson here.
Tina here.
Paul Denim.
Melinda Danforth.
Okay. Michaela, can you give us an opening?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. We want to record you. So we want you to stand in front of the microphone, and we'll see
first,
you in the video.
I should test that stuff before the meeting starts.
Okay.
I'm not supposed to record a prayer anyway.
And then you have to talk right into it.
Hello.
Yeah, sometimes we're shy, so you have to, like a rock star, talk right into the microphone.
Da is what a hussios take on joke, or not gina de ohandu, your day do. Segus kaje drahunun in Guahnigo, G awego oskana in Drahniduni, da turning to hackney in Guahnigo. Segus kaje drahunun in Guahnigo, daitino veladu, yunkino ha ohanja. Jisegu, Yoldi Watinjedo Hari, da 20 to Hackney in Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, Daitino Veladu, Onigli Suha. Jisegu, Yonadli Watinjedo Hari, da 20 to Hackney in Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, Daitino Veladu, Asnate Gunahnundli. Jisegu, Aguigu, Yonadli Watinjedo Hari, da 20 to Hackney in Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, de Drahno Veladu. Gahna Hunde Sawahi, G Segu, Yugasnu Hajis, Datoni do Hak Nini Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, Daitino Veladu, Ono Quatagu, G Segu, Yonadi Otinjedo Hadi, Datoni do Hak Nini Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, De Drahno Veladu, Oyunko Ue, G Segu, Yugasnu Hajis, Datoni do Hak Nini Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, Daitino Veladu. Owelasu, Jisegu, Yonadli Watinjedo Hadi, Datoni do Hackney in Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, Daitino Veladu, Ladisunga in Dese, Jisegu, Lodli Watinjedo Hadi, Datoni do Hackney in Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, Dahetuano Veladu, Sunga Jiha Guatageko in Nidale, Jisegu, Yodli Watinjedo Hadi, Datoni do Hackney in Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, Daitino Veladu, Yunki Sotago, Asundigeka, Way Nidale, Jisegu, Yodli Otinjedo Hadi, Datoni do Hackney in Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, Daitino Veladu, Yogi Stokalu, Jisegu, Yonadli Otinjedo Hadi, Datoni do Hackney in Guatnigo. Seguska J, Drahunun in Guatnigo, Daitino Veladu, Gainu Guedege, Jisegu, Yunki Nigola, Dadis, Datoni do Hackney in Guatnigo. Seguska J, Dahunun in Guatnigo, Dahetano Veladu, Scanadilio, Ginate Solianta, Gio Hanjige, Datoni do Hackney in Guatnigo. Seguska J, Dahunun in Guatnigo, Dahetano Veladu, Sunguaidi, So Ne Oleoguego, Ne Lonendao, Datoni do Hackney in Guatnigo, Danito.
Yeah. Yonko, Michaela. Is there any changes in the agenda before we approve?
No additions, Mr. Chairman.
OK. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Yeah, motion to approve by Paul Ninham, supported by Tina Danforth. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. We have an agenda. We will begin with the oaths of office. Oneida Arts Board.
Did you call them both?
As well as Oneida Police Department. Sapatis.
Is that right?
Sapatis? Yes. Sapatis. And Lottie Hill.
We'll administer them separately just so that the police officer, we take a little more time to recognize.
Police officer. It's fine. Commissioner.
Okay, so you
will be
aye. Sapatis Minoman.
Hereby promise. To uphold the laws and regulations.
Of
the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin. General Tribal Council.
And the Tribal Constitution. I will perform my duties.
To the best of my
abilities.
On the behalf of the Oneida people,
with honor, respect, and dignity,
and sincerity,
and will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality. I will carry out the duties and responsibilities as a member of the Oneida Arts Board, and all recommendations shall be made in the best interest of the Oneida Tribe as a whole. All right, thank you.
Glutton Hill.
Hereby promise. To uphold the laws and regulations. Of the Oneida Tribes Indian of Wisconsin. The General Tribal Council. And the Tribal Constitution. I will perform my duties. To the best of my abilities. On behalf of the Oneida people. With honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity,
and will maintain confidential information
with the strictest confidentiality.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities
as an officer of the Oneida Police Department,
and all recommendations
shall be made
in the best interest
of the Oneida Tribe.
As a whole.
Good morning, Business Committee and community members. I'd like to welcome officially Legge to the Police Department. He comes to us as a graduate of the Oneida Nation High School. He attended Northeast Wisconsin Technical College and received his associate's degree. He is currently attending the Police Academy at NWTC. He'll be ready to join us on the road in a couple months. Legge is an enthusiastic, high-energy, self-motivated guy, and we're excited to have him join the Police Department. Thank you for committing yourself to protecting and serving this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. two great new additions. Okay, we'll move into the minutes to approve, beginning with January 22nd, 2014, regular meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion by David Jordan to approve, seconded by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next, January 23rd, special meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Motion by David Jordan to approve.
Second.
Supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. February 3rd, 2014, special meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Motion by David Jordan to approve, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next we have resolutions. Item one is designate Lauren Hartman as an alternative to tribal representative of FIDA Trust Consortium.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion by David Jordan to approve, supported by Patty Heft. Discussion? All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Item two, continue cost containment through the end of 2014.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve this resolution.
We have a motion by Tina Danforth to approve the resolution.
Support.
Supported by David Jordan. Discussion, Melinda?
I just had a question because I've seen the emails going back and forth between the Secretary's office and the LRO office to make sure that there was, I wasn't sure if they worked out whether or not this needed a statement of effect or not.
We've not had one in the past for cost containment, so that would be unusual at this point.
I'm asking and the Secretary's office because I just wanted to make sure that they worked that out.
Nope, we didn't receive one. We heard from the LRO that there are resolutions that need cost containments, but need SOEs, but I haven't heard anything.
Because I agree with Tina that there hadn't been formerly one.
Yeah, it was initiated by the LRO, so okay. I don't know.
I haven't seen it. Well, Michelle's out with a sick child today, so.
Mr. Vice Chair, it would be good, though, Larry's here, to give us an overview of what's leading to the need for another cost containment period.
Okay, just to address the statement of effect, we can do that ex post facto. I think the urgency requires action this morning, so if we do need a statement of effect, that's a good point. We can do that hereafter. Three factors, and we noted the, I'll call it drivers, to consider the resolution this morning. One is a variance of gaming revenues in excess of $2 million. We also have incurred a widening responsibility carrying healthcare delivery costs at the clinic. I know that clinic leadership and Melinda are working toward trying to reconcile that additional burden with self-governance, so I know that dialogue is going on. Certainly, we don't have a immediate control over that cost escalation, but it is evident in the variance. The other variance, certainly retail, if you will, sales volume is also a concern. So those three factors, we've had a tough winter, which has influenced gaming volume, combined with, to some measure, the construction projects that are going on both at West Mason and the main casino has reasonably influenced repeat business or just as an inconvenience. I'm not suggesting it's driving business away, but there is a factor there that's causing some variance. So we don't have complete control over that, nor the weather, but we have to adapt in terms of controlling spending. Ideally, when we have warm weather resume, March, April, May, we can contemplate softening, if not consideration to come off containment. But we do have some commitments in the pipeline, which are causing concern relative to cash management. So we take no joy in asking of the programs to carefully expend dollars, but the situation's real and we need to adapt. So I appreciate your leadership in considering the measure to to control spending.
Mr. Chairman.
Tina.
I guess I just would like to also impress upon the community and the government that we continue to ask that there be consideration about the labor pool and the labor costs of the tribe. We have been running 40%. That's been the trend of labor costs. That's high. That's high for any organization. We repeatedly report this out as an issue. And in the last couple months, in the treasurer's report, it has reflected that our revenues are behind projection. I don't know if we're going to catch up. Sometimes we can catch up because of the trend, because of the trending and the season, the time of the year. Summer is better time. Historically, in businesses, this is the slow time of year. But aside from this being a slow time of year, this is extensively behind projection. And because of that, we have to make some adjustments. And today's agenda has 18 issues or considerations, I should say, for HRD. And, you know, we keep trying to impress upon the committee and organization and management that we really have to look at our labor cost. We cannot afford to continue at this rate. So I just want to make that note one more time. Because it is in front of us, and we're at a point in time where we just cannot afford to sustain this type of a cost. There are other considerations as well, and they're self-explanatory, so I won't go into those, but thank you.
Okay. Chris?
Good morning. I do have a little bit of good news to add to what Larry said. As you know, the Congress passed and the President signed the omnibus Budget Act for this year, and the little bit of good news is that contract support costs are supposed to be fully funded for this year, so we'll be getting a little bit more money for contract support costs. That's administrative expenses. The other thing is that there is some additional money in the budgets, both for IHS and the BIA, which could bring us back to pre-sequester levels. That would be fiscal year 2012 levels. But it doesn't make up for the losses that we've incurred over the last year and a half due to rising medical costs, medical inflation, the interest we might have lost on investing that money, and so on. The other little bit of news is that we will not be getting the balance of our fiscal year 2013 money, or this fiscal year's money, until probably about the middle of April, which only leaves 5 months left in the year, 5 or 6 months left in the year. The problem is that the both those agencies have to submit a budget to the president to be approved. That has to go through the departmental approval process and the OMB approval process. And after that, once the president approves that whole thing, we have a 30-day apportionment that has to be accounted for. So even on March 4th, if the president says, yeah, this is good, go with it, we wouldn't see any of that money until probably April 4th or thereabouts. We should be getting a little bit more money this year, but it doesn't make up for the losses, the hits that we took over the last year, year and a half.
Thank you, Chris. One thing I'm just wondering, when we go into the cost containment, if there's the ability to not put the, you know, as many of you may be experiencing or heard, the term of, well, I can't order pencils. So how do we avoid that? How do we avoid not strangleholding the organization in order to move to efficiency levels as well as maintain the spending? So, Patty or Larry?
Well, the discretion purchasing has is if it's essential, they order it. They're not going to impede medical supplies, for example, at the clinic. Pencils, call another department or call Linda at purchasing because she's probably got a case of them.
Right.
So we have to find ways to do more with less, trite as it is. we can probably call another department and get, you know, truckload full of them probably somewhere. I know that that is a bit trivial, but that's the threshold that they have direction on. If you absolutely need it, you're going to get it ordered. Pencils we can borrow from another department, in my opinion. We've probably got a case of them up in finance. Call us. We'll send them to you.
Right.
But at the same time, make no mistake, we are up against the wall making payroll Wednesday, and that's why the purchasing department has that directive directly from my office. Anything that can wait is going to wait. If we keep the operation going and they can live without it, that's their direction. And you know, we did have, importantly, a $2,000 office products order, which I would say probably 80% of that from another department was completely unnecessary. Irregardless if it's grant funded, to stockpile in this environment just is illogical. So that got also picked off, and you'll hear that. You guys will get the calls at your level. We can't order pencils. Well, from our perspective, we're fighting to make payroll every single week. So that's what we're up against. And again, as trivial as pencils are, I'd rather have someone get a check on Wednesday that clears the bank than ordering a case of pencils.
Right. So I think some of that part of that is the message to the division directors that are here, or that within them circles of conversation, to start working on that communication effort to create the efficiencies wherever we can within wherever we can. So I appreciate all of the comments going to it.
I think that's what I wanted to also say is that, you know, it's like all of a sudden I was sitting in a meeting in November and it was sequester, the government shutdown. Oh my gosh, we're on our knees. And yet, since that time, there's been no conversation about the validity of the tribe, what's happening with gaming, what's happening with retail. Did we budget correctly? You know, I know in the December treasurer's report, we paid down $6 million. How does that happen if we're on our knees? And I know that's probably a responsibility and we should do those things. But at the same time, I think it's about communication coming down and then everybody understanding what's happening with the boat. Because then if it's about complaining about not being able to order a pencil, then you understand and you don't complain about a pencil. It's like, okay, maybe I need to look internally and see what else I can do to help. But we haven't had any of those types of dialogues, and that's what I would love to see happen in the future. So that's what I
think. Okay. Well, there again, I think, you know, our job up here is to shoulder up with Chris John and have those conversations with the at the state and federal level. And what the atmosphere seems to be is many times the business committee is expected to go around and find those pencils. And I think that's some of the communication we can have to create some efficiencies on the level of what all of our role and responsibilities are. So, Geraldine had.
Previously, we had, before the business committee, approval for the frontline positions for gaming, and then I think we had one on programs so that we wouldn't have to keep bringing them back. Are those still going to be in place yet, or do we have to bring those back again?
I have to defer that to somebody with the answer.
Well, I think that's, you know, I know what our answer is. It means all and everything, but I think it's really a question for the committee to answer because even though Larry and I continue to say this is the concern, this is the situation, this is the facts, this is the number, the committee still makes the decision beyond that.
Larry.
Yeah, in direct response to the concern about paying down debt, I want, as I did Monday night at the community meeting, point out since 1997, we've paid over $30 million in interest and fees on that credit facility. We are very diligent in trying to get that paid off. It's not unlike our household credit card balance. If that gets out of hand, you then don't have cash to fund programs. You know, frankly, on this treasurer's watch, we paid down $32 million on the facility, and yes, we've sacrificed to do that. But the carrying costs, the fees, the consistent underwriting costs, the attorney's fees, the interest costs, We've been the fortunate beneficiary of a low rate environment, but that won't be perpetual. And the strategy is to, of course, mitigate the consistent outflow to service that debt so we do have discretionary dollars to fund back in programs. But you got to bite the bullet and pay it off. We did not anticipate this severe of weather pattern deep into December and January. So horse on us. But at the same time, I think we would not be doing our job in providing some perspective to get that credit line paid off. Because, imagine what this community could do with $30 million that we foisted onto the bank in interest costs, attorney fees, and renewal fees over that time frame since 1997. I'm not saying that taking debt is in and of itself an unproductive thing. There is some efficiency in taking debt, but in this case, I think we need to pay it off and fund our programs with that threshold of dollars. And important in terms of communication, we've tried to get the message across. I think a lot of the programs, in my opinion, are just plain in denial. On face value, we finished over $9 million in a variance for fiscal year 13. We've tried to communicate some constraint on cost. We still get people requesting to travel. I think in some cases it's not necessary. And then we get the blowback from that. And that's our job. It is our job to say no. But and again, at Monday night's community meeting, we did communicate that we're approaching a $7.5 million variance on this budget period. So make no mistake, the containment is not something we want to do. It's out of necessity as to our cash position. And as Mr. Johns pointed out, we ideally will get those reimbursements in April. And at that point, we can relax the containment measures. So,
thank you, Larry. Pat, you had some?
Yeah, just some, other good news is that we're also seeing this in other grants. They haven't officially said it yet, but like EPA, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, they've been telling us that we might be able to go back to pre-sequestration limits. So it looks like they're restoring some of the stuff that they took away. So part of the problem, and I understand where Larry's coming from and Tina, and we get that because, once again, Wednesday we're having a hard time making payroll. We do take that back. But at the other end, too, with these grant dollars, these are contracts. These are things we agreed to do. And we don't want to turn any monies back, neither. So I guess if there could be something within this cost containment measure that we kind of partner with the finance office and have a clearer communications around what's coming up, what do we have in these grant expectations so we aren't turning back money. Maybe we can work together better around figuring out different ways of, expending these dollars, working with these grant agencies too, because I think it's in our best interest to be prepared for this new money that might be coming. Because these are really things that are directly that can be put right on, projects, and then also with a great benefit to the community. But at the other end, we don't want to turn money back also. And so, we want to be able to plan that out very well as we move on for the remaining of the fiscal year. So if we could build in this cost containment, like I said, I think we can work very well with the finance office to figure these things out. So, this is hard work, hard decisions, and I think we're trying to hear what the finance office is telling us. But at the same time, we'd like to have that partnership to figure this out too. So,
good words, Pat. Brandon.
And I guess every year we do this, it's the drill, but it's because of the lack of the vision and priorities that we have set. So we're a budget-driven tribe. So every year after year, we're kind of going the same path, doing the same thing over and over again, and not based on a whole lot of priorities. And that's something that really needs to come out of this body here. And furthermore, on the federal level, we worked hard with Paul Ryan and Patty Murray in the Senate and House Finance Committee to work to get that surplus to go to pre-sequester days. And that's some of the things that we accomplished working with NCI. And also we're working with the Farm Bill, with the SNAP program. They cut SNAP big time, the food stamps. They cut it big time, but they put a lot of tribal provisions in that protected us. So those are the types of things that, you know, it's like you don't know what happens until it happens, you know, and all these things happen behind doors. And then until sequester happens, then you get people in services that can't get seen in IHS, in the health center. We had, you know, I don't know how everyone understood that we could not serve our people. We could not serve unless it was life or death. And those are the types of things that we just don't understand. And because we get tribal contributions to programs, that doesn't get touched as much as the federal programs on the side where that got totally cut. And so that's why it's hard for us to say that, you know, hey, you have your money, but we don't have money over here to spend on the federal programs where dire needs aren't being met. And that's the point that we need to get across a little bit better if that's not getting across. And that's to the community and that's to the organization. How do we get that better communication? How does that go back and forth, because it's not happening? And the cost containment measures, that's kind of the result of that. And we just need to continue, because this is a two-year budget for the federal budget. It's just a two-year extension. So we might be at this, or we're more than likely going to be at this again in 2 years. And so we have to plan for that possible sequester again and making sure that we have the strategies and the outlook of that 2 years from now and not start a year and a half from now. We need to start right now and start really seeing what the impacts could be on another sequester.
Thank you. Patty.
Later on in the agenda, as the treasurer said, we're going to be taking up more than 15 requests for employment hiring. And I'm going to ask the committee, when we get to that section, that we defer action on all of those items until we have a special meeting, a work meeting, so that we can sit down with the division directors and HR and review our employment levels in each area, each division in each area. But in relation to cost containment, I think, you know, we've been using cost containment for several years now, and I think it just indicates a need for us to really look at how to do some reforecasting throughout the year so that we are monitoring on a more regular basis our projections for revenue, because the economy has been unpredictable, and we get revenue projections at the beginning of a cycle only to go into the cycle and we're not meeting them. So I don't know if we're not very good at projecting because we're projecting too high, or it's just difficult to predict the economy, and so we have to adjust our spending to that. And I know, Larry, you said two numbers, $2 million or $7 million in variance, and I wanted to find out what your expectation is when we institute these measures of the level of spending that you're hoping that we'll have. You know, do you see us cutting back $2 million in spending by doing this, or is there a different number that you're aiming for?
Well, to state an arbitrary number, there are a multitude of variables to affect that. It's principally to preserve cash, to say what gaming revenues are going to do relative to, again, weather and their construction project is a bit of conjecture, but point well taken. The key is to preserve cash. That's what's driving this. Two things, again, making payroll and accounts payable. We hope that as we get into March, we start to see increased revenues as a consequence of tax returns at gaming and better weather. But a specific benchmark number, I would say ideally if we can preserve $250,000 per week, that arguably $2 million a month in cash, that's our intent, just to pick an arbitrary number. We also have, keep to mind, the outflow of the gaming renovation that's going on, and the bell curve in terms of outflow, we're hitting that now. So that's another variable in which the contractor and the subcontractors have to get paid. So we're anticipating that as we close into the late part of the project now, yeah. If that answers. Yeah. So it's principally to preserve cash. Ideally, if we can save, you know, $250,000 a week, $250,000 a week in cash flow, that's our intention. Keeping in mind, payroll is $2.2 million per week on average.
And just one more comment. We're also going to review a really nice comprehensive report from HR, too, that's going to really give us a better understanding of what employment looks like right now, a good snapshot. So we'll get to see that we haven't really decreased employment levels over the past few years. I think, if I remember right, we might be higher now than we were a couple years ago for total employment. But, yeah.
Larry.
You know, further thought with Patty's inquiry as well, I think as part of the work meeting, a conversation with both retail and gaming. Of course, as the treasurer pointed out, there's always seasonality and variance, but some insight there as to what they are putting forth as strategy to address the variance would be healthy. We don't have any direct influence on that. We all support what they're doing, but they might lend some insight why the variances exist to give a definitive explanation to that.
And is this a cash flow issue? Is that what we're responding to?
Okay. Chaz.
Chaz Wheelock, employee and general tribal council member. I think is focusing on the theme of communication, I think we are neglecting a big part of the dynamic, which is the membership. I think everyone here, many of them are employees and members. And GTC, the community, if it's empowerment, getting more decision information to them to them know what's going on. I'm not going to say districts, but some structure on which you can involve them with understanding what the issues are before us, I think that'll help address the larger issues that Larry's bringing up, CFO and the treasurer, as far as what we have to deal with in our community. Because getting the information out to the employees is only one part of the story. The rest of the story is the membership. Where do they get their information? Right now, 30% of the membership at GTCs are employees. And my math says 70% means the others aren't employees. Where do they get their information? Alternative media, social media, Lord knows. But official information from the tribal government and from official information, I think, is a key part that's missing from the discussion. So at the time in which these issues come before General Tribal Council, you'll have a more informed membership, hopefully to make a better decision on whatever issues before us, particularly on finance. So I'd suggest strongly that that strategy as far as communication is designed around including membership as much as employees, as was mentioned earlier by one of the staff. Communicating with the employees is only one part of it. And as just for the record, as you know, GTC is causing us now through the petition process approaching 250,000, no matter what the subject. And so I think everything that's on the table needs to be revised to say everything needs to be on the table as we look at where the costs are going for our organization and for ultimately our community, because that's who's ultimately impacted is the community membership and the community itself.
Thank you, Chaz. Tina.
You know, I agree with you, Chaz, that we need to inform the membership. And, you know, I, as a treasurer, have a responsibility annually and semi-annually to report out on the budget and the financial condition of the tribe. Unfortunately, that meeting didn't occur in January because of the weather. So that opportunity has been postponed till this weekend. So, you know, the information will get out. There'll be that opportunity. As far as reporting to the community, there are things that I'd like to say to the community, that I need to say to the community, but the forum is the question, and at least for myself. I can write about it in my articles, but I have to balance that because when the community reads it, so do other people. It's a public information piece. And so I have to balance that with the creditors, with the business relationships that we have in this area and nationally. There's a fine balance with that. You know, if I start saying there's an alarm here, there's a fire here, I don't want everyone thinking, well, the tribe's on fire and, you know, you better go put your money under your mattress. You know, I can't create that kind of a scenario either. So I have to kind of balance that out. But those are my forums, the Gully Wee Sox and the General Tribal Council meetings, you know, and beyond that, it's right here. It's here on Wednesdays. It's when I'm with committee and executive, and it's monthly. The monthly report comes out, and committee has access to that. And unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to see it, the numbers don't lie. We don't make them up. There's no way we could make them up. They're real. They're tangible. So they're a tool as well. They're a tool for planning and for forecasting. And before my tenure here as treasurer for the last almost 6 years, you know, we didn't do forecasting. I'm still hoping some of our business enterprises will do business plans. You know, I've asked for that, but, you know, it's only so much I can do as far as tracking things. And those things also help us to plan. They help us to plan monthly, weekly, by project, by season, by the year. And, you know, there are a lot of things that weren't being done from a financial standpoint before I came into office. And so it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of work for my staff. And we get criticized all the time that finance is stopping this or the treasurer's office is stopping that. And, you know, we're here to do our job. And we're here to do our job in the best interest of the tribe. Do people really want me and my staff just to look the other way and to let us continue to go downhill with no brakes? Is that really what you want, is financial irresponsibility, or you want financial stability with some responsibility and accountability and some continuity with that, some consistency? We do our very best to be consistent about the things that we do and the things that we put in front of people. And it's a challenge. It's an uncomfortable challenge for us. But it's like Larry said, we're doing our job. And sometimes our job means we have to say no. And we have to make those adjustments and learn from them and go forward from them. And there's still a lot of places that need some analysis and some consideration. I mean, I was to the dentist not long ago, and it's 9 months before I can get back in. I probably need to be in there in 3 months, but it's going to be 9 months. And the reason I'm being told is, you know, we serve non-enrolled people. We're serving descendants at 60% of the caseload. So that's someone, I know Debbie's writing a note, and that's great. But this has been an issue because we get the consolidated number of what happens at the clinic, at what happens at retail, at what happens at gaming. We get a consolidated number and we don't see the detail. But I think that's where we need management to bring us those details and to come forward with that information as timely as possible. I mean, these are realities. These are not things that we're saying because we want to have a conversation. These are things that are occurring in front of us. And if we don't address them, then I guess then I can only point the finger at myself for not saying, you know, this is the situation, this is the concern, this is the circumstances. How do we want to address this? So, you know, I don't mean to lecture or anything, but, you know, it's very challenging for the tribe right now.
Okay. Last one, Don.
Hi, I just wanted to say that some encouragement for all of us. I know GSD has been working with the CFO closely, too, and we're managing situationally as we go along with our financial areas, revenue generators, too. But when we get the information from the CFO's office about where we are, we make modifications in our operational request and day-to-day sort of management, too. So I just want to let you know that this how we're managing currently relative to where we are financially in that, too, is dependent a lot on timely communication. But with the CFO's office, we're getting a lot of feedback relative to where we are, so we make modifications in the division. So I think we can work through this, and we can regroup, as Brandon said, too, around priorities in that as well, too. So,
Paul?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just was looking for Larry for a little bit of clarification around the number four, the top of the second page of the resolution, eliminate all travel. The only exception will be for the government and legislative, for governmental legislative affairs and grant require travel. I read that as eliminate all travel, except for who, you know, is that? I see legislative affairs. I see government because I see later on in the agenda some travel requests that are being put forward, and one procedural exception for gaming for about four or five people or so.
Correct. It's just to, as a matter of due diligence, where there are exceptions, you folks have the discretion to consider that. So if you feel that it's essential and critical, you certainly can grant that exception. And where there are what I would say non-essential, I don't want to use a example, but we get them probably a couple of times a week, we've told folks no. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, you know, anecdotally, leadership's agreed with that. But you still have that discretion. If Mr. Johns needs to meet with the president, we'll probably, you know, sanction that.
Grant funded.
If we're sending someone that doesn't have subject matter expertise to a conference that we see no value added, we're sending it back.
Right.
And defend that.
I understand.
You know, again, you know, the question goes back to Larry. It goes back to Larry, the CFO, about why travel and what type of travel and who's to travel and, you know, what's the consideration. But again, you know, we can only make the recommendation and we can give you the information to back up to our recommendation, but the decision is at this table. And that's where, you know, we have a clash. You know, I don't even want to call it a clash, but that's where the consideration is made. That's where the consideration is made. And that is our responsibility as well.
Okay, Patty.
One of the purposes for having our work meeting, and hopefully we'll get that either the end of this week or early next week, is to clarify these kinds of things, because we use this cost containment kind of recommendation, and it doesn't really work that well. And because we're getting it for the first time here, we haven't had time to talk about it as a committee, so we're caught off guard and having to react. And then I'll couple that with wanting to do something because, I understand what Larry's saying. I mean, he's right about the problem or the situation, but how to fix the situation is something that we need more time to talk about so that we can attack that problem more strategically rather than across the board generalizations. It's these kinds of general measures that create problems for us because it requires us to come up with some discretionary responses for on a case by case basis. So, and that gets us in trouble. So, and then at the end of the day, we're not clear or we're not certain if we actually did what we were intending to do, was to cut spending back. So hopefully those things we'll address when we sit down and work on this. And maybe we'll get it right and make some improvements from then on.
Mr. Chairman, you know, I just need to respond in a sense to what Patty is saying. You know, I as a treasurer made this information known to the committee in January about the lag in revenues. It was alarming to me to see it when it came out, and I made that information available to the business committee in January, mid-January. We're in mid-February, and I think at that point in time, the committee probably could have made some recommendations. The committee at that point in time could have said we probably need to look at our expenditures and where we are from a financial standpoint as a tribe and as an organization and as a community entity. And the committee, you know, they accepted the information. But I think Larry and I had a responsibility to put this in front of the committee in this forum. So to make it sound like, you know, there wasn't an opportunity to discuss this, that, you know, we're just getting this now, that there's nothing specific, it's not my job and Larry's job to be specific. We can be specific within the parameters that are dictated to us by General Tribal Council and by the business committee. We can do that. But I don't think it's Larry's job and my job per se to be specific about it. But I think when it comes up to this level, at this decision-making process, here's where you see the specifics relative to what we're asking. And it's all over the agenda today in different degrees. So, you know, so I kind of take I take a little bit of a difference of opinion of what's being said by the secretary here, because we made the information known. That number to me was alarming, you know, in January when it came out. And it's not gotten any better.
Okay, we could discuss this quite a while. I think some of the things that we all need to keep in mind is that it's not necessarily going to be a change in policy. It's going to be a change in philosophy in order for us to recover from this. Standing Rock Reservation yesterday lost an individual that froze to death due to the lack of propane. There was probably a policy that didn't allow that tribe to protect and serve that individual. Maybe not. But we need to change some of those philosophies about following stringent policies, procedures, in order to revitalize the fire that we need within this community in order to grow. So I think, there again, it's a good recommendation that will be coming down the pipe later on of having those gatherings with the those that can make decisions with us, help us to gather the information needed to make good decisions. So I know we have a motion, and we have support for that motion, and it is to continue cost containment through fiscal year 2014. So all those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Good conversation.
Thank you.
Okay, item three is support family and child education program. That I've had conversations with the school board as well as representatives from the school board, and I think we're just looking for a motion to support. We'll do some highlights with Debbie Danforth.
Before Debbie starts, one of the questions I'm hoping you'll address is the funding. Is this resolution in front of us in order to ensure that we'll use tribal contribution to fund this program?
No, this program is already funded. The purpose of the resolution is to send this forward to continue funding at the federal level.
Motion to approve the resolution for the FACE program.
Support.
Yeah, motion by Tina Danforth to support, to support, seconded by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Brandon?
I guess to add with that, last month I was in D.C. and I was given information to help further advance the FACE program to our legislatures to make sure that the program still gets its funding. And the difficulty in nowadays is because we have a lack of a general manager is consolidating all the information and programs. Is consolidating all the information and programs that we have related to young children. And if we promote one program over the others and not preserving the rest of them, you know, legislatures start to believe that, you know, this is the important program and we're not hearing about the other programs. Maybe this isn't, these programs over here aren't, you know, important enough to get funded. And so that's a difficulty I had presenting that information, even though I did, is having that central person that knows everything about the tribe, which we're supposed to know everything about the tribe, which is very difficult. And that's kind of the quandary that I had in doing that. So in moving this forward, I think this is how, you know, we gauge our communication with our legislatures as far as federal legislatures on how we move individual programs forward, like, you know, this Head Start, Indian Child Welfare. Those programs all were cut during the sequester. Some of the most needy people on the reservations, those programs were cut. And so, and that's how when we do these things with in D.C., we consolidate all the information and say these are all the programs across the board that continue need to be funded because they're vital for our children's education and future. So, I mean, I don't know how to say who's going to be the central person in consolidating all that information so it's not we're promoting just one and not the others.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'd just like to comment briefly that, you know, there is governmental services and there is school. The school has maintained its autonomy to the government for purposes, you know, that are in their best interest as a school. And, you know, that's been longstanding as far as I can remember. And so they will have their numbers and they will have their tracking ability. Governmental services will have their numbers and their tracking ability. And there's no reason why we can't collaborate the information from the two entities. All we have to do is pick up the phone and ask for those numbers, ask for that. You know, and our Head Start program is funded beyond the federal level. We actually set aside money to fund Head Start beyond the federal level so that we can get those kids that fall between the cracks. So that information is available, and I know it's available. It's just a matter of asking for it and knowing who you need to ask for it. So, you know, I would have been more than happy to help you with that information or direct you to that had I known that was a question that you had. So the information is available. So, and I see the people, you know, shaking their heads in agreement that it is available.
Yeah, I know it is available.
But thanks for letting us know that you need that.
And I did send an email out to the committee saying that I needed this information, okay. And that could have been done at the time.
My name is Tanya Lopez-Martin. I am a parent educator and the co-coordinator for the BASE program. I agree with you, Brandon, that it's hard to determine which program is needed, but honestly, I feel that all of the programs are needed in this community because there's not one program that is better than the other. I think Oneida Early Head Start, Oneida Head Start, and the FACE program, we all work together to try to make sure that all families are covered, where there's different requirements for each program. That's where we cover for each other. Oneida Early Head Start, their requirements are income. Ours are based on blood quantum. So the children that come in our program have to be eligible to be enrolled in a federally recognized tribe, or they have to have a cumulative blood from both parents. So I think it's important for all of us to work together, and we have, as all three programs have worked together, to try to make sure that all children are covered. There's still some out there that we're not getting to, but we continue to work at that. So that's why we feel that it's important, just so that where Head Start and Early Head Start does not cover, we also can help cover.
Thank you.
I know
that sitting down with Tanya and a couple other representatives from the school, it is a good story that we can tell, and I know that Midwest Alliance Sovereign Tribes is going to share that. They're representing 35 tribes through the region. They'll be sharing that message as well in Washington in March. You know, so there is that effort out there. They'll be stepping up, sharing your voice with the legislative out there. So appreciate any input that we can get on the subject. Do we have a motion with support?
Yes, we do.
Okay, we have a motion.
We already motioned.
Oh. Okay. Oh. So you threw me way off, Brandon. Okay. Next, we have reports, beginning with Chris Johns.
With the Allegheny County Sheriff's
resolution.
So you really threw me off, Brandon. Okay. Adoption of Allegheny County Sheriff's Deputization Agreement.
Motion to approve.
A motion by David Jordan to approve, supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Eric. Well explained. Now, Mr. Gloom and Doom, Chris Johns.
Well, good morning again. And thank you for putting off my quarterly report until today. A lot of things have happened in the last several months, including the passage of a budget and so on. And I want to bring you the latest information. Earlier when Larry was up here talking, I pretty much summarized everything that's in the written report that I submitted to you. Congress passed a bill. The bill includes funding to roll back some of the sequester cuts for an awful lot of agencies, including the BIA and IHS, but also Indian Education, Department of Health Human Services, ACA, ACF, DOI, all of these different agencies. So it's likely that we will see a small increase in money coming from the federal government yet this year. But again, not enough to make up for what we may have lost over the last year and a half. Very significantly, I've been on no less than 8 or 10 conference calls over the last 6 weeks with Dr. Rubidoux, the director of the Indian Health Service, and Kevin Washburn, the Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs. Congress has directed those two agencies to fully fund contract support costs for all Indian tribes, compactors as well as contractors. This is a major victory. We have been working toward this for 2 decades and probably even longer than that. I've been involved in this for about 2 decades, and I can remember when this was an issue way back in 1990. The problem is that Congress has never provided enough money. Congress now recognizes they were at fault. This comes on the heel of 2 Supreme Court cases which said, yes, indeed, the administration, the federal government, is responsible for providing 100%. They do it for everybody else. You need to do it for Indian tribal contractors and compactors. But, once again, they dumped this problem on the IHS and the BIA. They may have increased the budget for both of these agencies, but, for example, in the IHS budget, they are going to come up about $15 to $20 million short in fully funding all CSC because they have to estimate how many new and expanded programs are going to be taken over this year. And that usually comes to around $15 or $20 million. So we've been working very, very hard. And last Friday, Dr. Rubidoux and Kevin Washburn both submitted their budgets that, as I said before, have to go through the whole approval process before they get to the president. And unfortunately, any decisions that they have made are not available. They've been embargoed. This is a policy of OMB not to release any of that information. But we are requesting this year permission to look at what those budgets look like because we need to know in order to plan for the remainder of the year whether or not that money is in there, where the extra $15 or $20 million came from. Did they take it from direct program services, which we all fought against? How did they get that additional money? But that has been embargoed, so until we hear differently, we really don't know. And we will hear on March 4th. The president is supposed to, by March 4th, put that budget out there, and it'll be public at that time. The rest of my report is pretty much straightforward and deals with all of those kinds of things. There are 3 items that just cropped up between last week and today. We have, and this goes along with the contract support cost claim that we filed as a result of the Supreme Court decision in the Cherokee case. We filed a claim that the Indian Health Service failed to pay approximately $457,000 for a certain period of time in contract support costs. There are 3 options available to us, and Bemidji is asking whether or not we want to pursue any of those options. The first option, what they're calling the traditional process, would involve the sharing of information between the tribe and Bemidji in order to arrive at some kind of settlement agreement. That would involve some work on the part of the tribe. The second alternative process would be a one-time non-negotiable settlement offer coming from the Indian Health Service, from Bemidji. And the third option would be to continue to pursue the issue through the what would be a costly and time-consuming administrative and then legal process. I don't know that we want to go that route. I'm not exactly sure that we want to go the route of the alternative process either, because through my contacts on the Tribal Self-Governance Advisory Committee, we found out that one tribe over in Michigan, self-governance tribe, went through that process, and they were offered 33 cents on the dollar for what was owed to them. Now, Bemidji, I have talked to the person over at Bemidji who would be working on this settlement offer.
Could you keep it within just the framework and not discuss the settlement sides of it?
Yeah. Sure.
By note of chief counsel.
The settlement offer that the Michigan tribe got was nowhere near what they were owed. Okay, so you know it's a roll of the dice for us whether or not we want to choose any one of these things. One could be costly, you know. One we just let them do the work and see what the offer is and say no, thank you. The other one we get, you know, into the back and forth kind of thing. That would be entirely up to you to make that decision. Bemidji is pressing this because they want to get these things done. Two, three additional things. Let's see, having to do with the contract support costs. As I said before, I'm sorry, we're petitioning OMB to lift that embargo so that we can see exactly where they got that money from. The second thing, Congress, in addition to telling the IHS and BIA to come up with a plan to fully fund contract support costs for this year, has also directed both those agencies to come up with a long-term plan that will involve tribal consultation. They have 120 days to do that. That's about the middle of May, approximately. They are going to kick off the consultation at the NCAI's midwinter executive session. I think that's coming up in March. That'll be the beginning of the consultation. There's expected to be at least four, possibly as many as six, regional consultations around the country where we can weigh in on this and try to formulate some kind of plan so that we are fully funded for contract support costs from this point forward.
I was just looking for a thing I know it came from. I seen you come across some of the emails when you were talking about the conference calls that were going on, and it was from the Great Plains area. I know Chairman Hall had put together a resolution, and I didn't find it here, but is there a similar effort that we can put together with that?
There have been a number of tribes that have submitted resolutions or sent letters and so on, and at the Tribal Self-Governance Advisory Committee, upon which I serve as your proxy, and the Self-Governance Advisory Committee on which I am the delegate from the Midwest region, we all weighed in on that. So all self-governance tribes submitted a letter that was approved and sent on to the appropriate people.
Melinda.
I just had a question on the contract support costs, Chris, because I know that at the federal level and the regional level when we're talking with the tribes, because of the amount of the contract support costs, we just had the discussion on the budgets with IHS in our region a few months back, and they were concerned that because, you know, we might be going back to this to the pre-sequestration levels of Indian Health Service funding, but IHS had talked about if we were directed, which they now are, to fully fund contract support costs, their fear is that Congress will not appropriate additional dollars, which then, by way, will impact the health clinics that IHS funds. So is that still a real factor on the table, or is there a commitment to increase the budget in order to fully fund contract support costs?
A major part of the plan, the long-term plan, is going to have to be for tribes and the agencies to get together and put it right in the face of Congress and say, look, we have cut everything. This year, in order to meet that directive, we have cut everything to the bone without affecting direct services. We can't go any further. The plan has to include Congress appropriating enough money. That has to be the first point, and that has to be the major point of any long-term plan. Whether or not they do it, that's up to Congress, but Congress has directed us to come up with that kind of a plan. Yeah, I know Bemidji is also, for anybody who's interested, Bemidji area is one of the lowest funded areas of all the IHS areas. I mean, they have people over there who are doing two or three jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, and they do them well. I should add to that. The last thing I did want to mention is that my term as the Midwest Region's primary delegate to the BIA's Self-Governance Advisory Committee is just about over. I was honored that the Self-Governance Advisory Committee asked me to ask you if I could continue on that committee. The charter for the SJAC has changed, and it now requires that an elected official be the actual member, but that I could still act as the proxy. This would be an opportunity for one of you to put on your resume that you were a delegate for the Midwest region of the Self-Governance Advisor Committee without doing any of the work. So who wants that job? All we need is a letter that says, you know, we want our vice chair, Greg Mattson, to serve as the delegate, and Christopher Johns would be his proxy when he can't make it.
Anybody did a hell of a job for me last time, so I appreciate that.
Does anybody want to volunteer? Because I would like to stay. Let me tell you, a lot of this information that I have here is not generally well-known or widely spread throughout Indian country. This is a lot of information I get by attending these meetings and talking to these people.
Well, I think it is important for someone on the committee to be involved in that process because, you know, even though you get the information, we'll only get it when you make your report. And I think that kind of causes a delay in our ability to respond to some of these things.
And incidentally, the delegate and or proxy are all their expenses are cost reimbursable, right? So it doesn't cost the tribe anything.
I don't know how that works, but I'd be honored for you to do my job again. But
you're already our TSGAC representative. Yeah, you want to do them both? That'd be great.
Okay, yeah, I would just recommend that Melinda, since she does a lot of the Bemidji area work on that.
And she's going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
That's the dedication that we see it coming from that. So,
do we want to make that a motion? Or is this something that you want to request of us and we'll act on it at another meeting?
You don't necessarily need to make a motion. It's just a letter, you know, saying that we nominate this person and add my name on there as proxy.
What we'll do is we'll take it up at the next agenda then, or we'll do an e-poll of
okay.
It.
All right. Yeah, I'll try. I'll put it out there then, unless somebody wants to be the sponsor.
You just draft the letter.
Right.
You want the job. It's fun. These people are a blast, let me tell you. And they're smart. They are very sharp people.
Thank you, Chris.
It's been an honor working with them. Any questions?
Motion to accept the report.
And motion by Patty Heff to accept the report, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
Thanks, Chris. Great report.
Thank you.
Governmental services.
They did not submit a report, so I'm assuming
everything's great.
Don was here, but I'll make a motion to defer to the. Oh, here he is. I don't know, Don, if you wanted us to defer this to the next. Okay, I'll make a motion to defer this report to the next meeting.
I just wanted to give an explanation in that we're.
maybe most of you know, we've run into the flu, and it just basically interfered with the whole idea of getting that report out on time. So if we could defer it, that would be great.
Yep. Okay. We have a motion by Patty Heff to defer, supported by Paul Newnam. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Geraldine with Human Resources Department.
I have Victoria Hensley with me today to talk about the workforce development piece.
Hi, Victoria.
I'll go through with this stuff first. Okay, some things I'd like to bring to attention is kind of what I was talking about yesterday in our meeting is the overall look of how our employees are right now on the wage scale. Over the years, we've been monitoring how many people are actually being paid above their grade. And it has gone from 320 in 2009 to 590 in 2014 for non-exempt, or the total. The current compensation philosophy of the tribe is to pay at market, and currently we're paying a good portion of those above market. So if you look at the compensation highway, which is on page 42, there are two highways there. And what this highway represents is the bottom line is the minimum pay for the grade. The dotted line is the midpoint or the medium for that grade. The top line, of course, is the maximum. So anybody that has the dot over that top line is those that are above for that particular grade. Does that make sense? So we've done that for both exempt and non-exempt employees. For ethnicity, we are still at 57% Oneidas, 6% other Native Americans, and 37% other. I also gave you a breakdown of the statuses and the types of full-time, half-time, and temporary employees that we have throughout the organization. And before I turn over to workforce development, the other thing that we talked about yesterday was vacation time accruals. On the very last page, what I've been monitoring is the accruals each month for all of the employees and how many hours are out there and the total dollar. And as I had projected, the numbers have gone down a little bit in January, but you can see we have just under $6 million in accruals for vacation and personal time. So with that, I will turn the mic over to Victretta to talk about workforce development.
Sigoli. Workforce development's goal is to build an Oneida workforce by creating workforce delivery systems that promote self-sufficiency, support job growth by providing tools to reduce unemployment to Oneida community members. We have two objective statements, and one is to build by October 2018 to build an Oneida workforce by providing classes and training that will increase the knowledge, skill set, employability, and earning potential for 180 Oneida community members. Our second objective is by October 2018 to build both internal and external partnerships with employers and colleges to help 120 program participants obtain full-time positions within the community. The grant will bring awareness to Oneida community that there's opportunities to regain self-esteem, understand the importance of soft skills, and the ability to promote self-sufficiency. This means collaborating with educational institutions, employers, and within the organization itself. It is the hope of this grant to be a stepping stone to fulfill the vision, building strong building strong families built on the Jetni Gwalihoda, and the mission to which is to strengthen and to protect our people. Currently in February, we have recruited over 50 people to be to participate in either classes or work certified programs. We will be following these individuals, touching base with them to ensure we let them know of current job opportunities. We've been collaborating with CMN on recruiting for college credits that are transferable to any college and can be used in the future towards academic coursework. This gives the community members opportunities to get a head start on college careers or make up credits on behalf of Oneida Higher Education student status with no cost. Those that have completed the class has been over 100 people. 33 of those individuals have received home health aid certifications. In October, we sent out 27 letters to 27 students that graduated from the home health aid program to see if they were working or where they are currently. I received five back, and we've referred six to REM, which is the mentor network company which we're collaborating with. We are currently charged with recruiting individuals per expectation of our grant guidelines to recruit 10 adults for work certified, 18 graduating students interested in the medical field, 10 for outstanding applicant workshop on March 12th, and we're also working with Murphy Concrete Construction Company to do interviews for a job fair. For them, they want to hire and train in areas of the asphalt, concrete, and construction jobs within their company. According to our grant, in Brown and Outagamie County, the unemployment rate is 22%. Currently, we created a workforce development Facebook page on January 27th. We've reached 398 people. We have 131 likes, and 170 people visited our site after we showed our work certified class that started on Monday. In conclusion, my workforce development specialist trainee is 100% grant funded, and we've received our NGA, which means the money is in our account, to keep the grant in compliance. I'm asking for approval to post this position internally for Oneida tribal members only. Yonko.
Victor, is there any more progress with the trans program? Is there anything, you have any update on that?
We are working with Green Bay Trans, and we're just in the starting stages of putting together classes for that.
Do you know what this, did you ever keep track of the success like you did with the home care workers, of how many actually got a job in that field?
Yes, and the numbers are very bleak. Oh. We have 23 enrolled tribal members that have went through trans, and currently we probably have five that are currently working.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Motion to accept the report.
A motion by David Jordan to accept the report. Supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Thank you, Victor Atta. Good job. Boards, committees, commissions. Begin with Onbeck. Morning, Dirty and Dusty. How's it going? Mike and John.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. Oh, we had our meeting last night, and a lot of discussion is with the co-talkers, with the powwow, with Lloyd Paulus. John got a lot of information about how that's going now with trying to work together with everybody. It's either going to be at the wall or Radisson, huh? In case it rains.
I'll just go over the report. The report's in the file. Any questions on that at all? We have an ongoing working opportunity with the communications department and other various individuals in the community working on the honoring the code talkers. And the schedule is for May 23rd. That's all written in your packet.
I'll make a motion to accept.
Second.
Motion by Brandon Stevens to accept the report, supported by Paul Ninham. Discussion, Patty?
Would you just elaborate on your statement that you make in your report about the need for veterans groups to work together or something? You made some kind of comment in your...
That comment was made by an individual. What we do is we have an open receiving opportunity for veterans, anyone to speak their mind about whatever situation might be. There's been a lot of dialogue in the community and soreness or unhappiness with things in relationship to the VFW building. At one time, all the veterans organizations came together and agreed that that was going to be the focal point of Veterans Affairs, and we even moved the Veterans Affairs program into that building, and then things pretty much fell apart in various relationships and things. So this comment was from some Joe Q public that just actually made the comment that they'd like to see this. So it's the intent of our ONVAC committee to meet individually with each of these organizations and then eventually bring them all together. With the moving of the veteran service officer out of the cottages at Social Services and over to the Community Services building on J, that has really seemed to have changed a lot of the attitudes of people who have been coming. Mr. Matoxin held a open house on January 26th, I believe it was, and had multiple veterans attending. It was actually a very excellent event. But it's our intent of ONVAC to continue working with all of the organizations and recognizing them as a part of this. They, too, will be included in this event, all of the organizations in recognizing our honored code talkers. So that was a comment, Patty, that we definitely are taking serious and will respond to with the organizations.
Thank you.
I noticed you have two liaisons from the business committee. Do you have the liaisons participating in your meetings on a regular basis?
No, we've not had much contact with the liaisons.
Okay.
Kathy?
I got, I don't know if you got a copy of this, Diane Carlson, Evan. This is, I think we are very, very fortunate to have this lady to come here to the Radisson. I don't know if any of you went to the LZ Lambeau. There are going to be two Medal of Honor recipients there also. There's Gary Wetzel, he's originally from Milwaukee, and Ken Stump. He's from Appleton, and both of these people, I think they both lost an arm. It's very, it's really important that we, as Oneida, represent, you know, this here, because there's going to be other tribes that are going to be visiting or attending, and like, they requested all the ONVAC members, and I wish all the BC members could possibly be there in attendance to this, because this is some history here. I mean, so I think if we could all be a part of this, you know, and it's tickets, you know, you get roast of chicken and you get a meal, you know, it's $20 in advance tickets and then $25 at the door, but most, you know, you go to your budget and you can get it out of there too, whatever, so...
They got it in their pocket.
Yeah, I know you do.
One other thing is we're advertising this also to the community because every tribal member has a member of their family that's a veteran. one sort or the other, and it's really an honor in recognizing all of them. This event is something that's community-wide, and for us to be hosting it here in Oneida is an honor. It would be even a greater honor if we have a great crowd that comes out to support this program. And again, this is all run by the Wisconsin Indian Veterans Association.
Yeah.
OnBac will be there in our full force. All of us agreed we would be there.
Yeah, the Finance Committee did have it on the agenda for Friday and support the request.
So thank you very much. Today.
Thank you.
Okay. Good stuff.
That's Kathy. Our report.
Sorry. Is it okay now?
Yes, it's okay.
Thank you. I have a question. During all that goings on of the Code Talkers events, I did attend your meeting, and I was kind of wondering. I heard that you're not really a veteran group, but that you're an advisory board to the veteran groups, and I was just wondering if I could get a copy of your bylaws and, you know, your. Because I'd like a better understanding, because it didn't make sense to me that an advisory group would send themselves to something so important than the other veteran groups. I guess you would be advising who would go, you know, who would go to this. It was.
I'm sure they really they'd have something. That available there. At the office.
Yeah. We'll be very, very open to give those bylaws and share that. But the advisory committee is established as representatives of all of the veterans organizations within our community, and that's where that came from. So, the bylaws clearly spell that out.
Okay.
And all there was letters and such that
Kathy,
said differently.
I'll be in contact with you to get that to you.
Mr. Chair, motion to accept the report.
Yeah, motion to accept the report by David Jordan, supported by Tina Danforth. Motion all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you.
Abstentions? Motion carries.
And the bylaws for your committee are on the website.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Siats?
No report was submitted. I would make a motion to defer this to the next meeting.
A motion to defer CS report by Patty Heft.
Support.
Supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries. United Land Claims.
No report was submitted. I would make a motion to defer it to the next meeting.
A motion by Patty Heft to defer, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Oneida Land Commission.
That's here.
Motion to accept the report.
Motion by David Jordan to accept the report, supported by Tina Danforth. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Sure.
Could you come to the microphone, please?
Her daughter and her granddaughter right now, so she was unable to be here, and she asked me to attend. I just have one question as I read over the minutes, the report, is that when are we going to be done doing the audit for the land Division of Land Management? One is because it's been going on forever, and the other one, it is costing substantial amount of money. And I think we must pretty much, they've had to go through everything within the Division of Land Management. So I'm wondering, is there an end to it? I would wish that this would end and that our budget is on hold within the Department of Land Management until that audit is done. I've never known within the tribe of any department who is having an audit where they put on hold their budget and they can't do nothing. And that's where we're at. And so what would be your recommendations?
Brennan, he's chairman of the audit committee.
Yes, Brennan.
Chairman of the audit committee. Right now is the rollout is well, the moratorium was definitely was needed. it needed to come back, so there was a lot of discrepancy in what was happening there. So the audit, internal audit, looked at everything that needed to be looked at and sent an RFP out for an agency to look within. So before it did all that, it narrowed its scope of work down to, so the company outside did not have to look at the whole scale of the operation. Seeing as the land acquisition fund is so significant that it needed the due diligence to make sure that, you know, those types of things, we get that streamlined. So once that gets on board, then it'll go pretty smooth and pretty fast.
Because I think this has kind of hurt the tribe in a way where we can't move forward on certain purchases and things, you know, that are very, I think it can be detrimental to the tribe that we couldn't go ahead with some of these purchases that should have been made and we can't. And while we're sitting here not being able to do something, you know, somebody else is going to step in and take those parcels or those things. So we need to get it done and get it back on board again. Yeah. So
is there a timeline?
Well, Don is here to maybe a timeline, but we want to conclude as fast as possible as well.
Yeah. It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It was a big, very big issue, too, and it's a very big pot of money, so why we're taking it. It needs to be done in the best possible way. And also, on top of that, we need also to hurry up with it, and just because the Department of Interior also had a set of rules that allowed over 200 acres of purchase would go through their process rather than the IAI process, which takes up to 3-4 years in appeals, and it will only take a year in their process. So, I mean, those types of things we really want to, we understand it, and so we'll move it as fast as we can, but understanding it's one of the largest pools that we have of cash in the tribe, and that it's going to take, you know, a little time to make sure we do it right.
Okay, thank you. That was my concern.
Okay.
Sorry about
Kathy,
that.
You got a comment regarding the time frame of the...
Well, actually, I don't know if this is included. I may be 200% off track. But one of my questions that I've been waiting for is if that includes all those files that were in a gaming dumpster from land management. I'm still waiting to hear on that. I don't know if that's concluded, or I know I've been trying to watch the Oneida Eye. I'm just waiting to hear whatever happened to all those files that were in a gaming commission dumpster, and they were from land management. I believe that's my understanding. So that's what I'm waiting on.
Okay. I don't know if there's any kind of response to that, but I know we have a motion with support. Could we do that once again? We have a motion. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
And just to comment on that, I mean, from that point, it's pretty much 200% off track, and until an audit comes back stating some of those types of things, it's hearsay. And so, I mean, I don't want to have that all in the community and say that that's gospel, because it's not.
Yeah.
I read a report to that effect, a written report, but it's been such a long time since I've seen that report. So I think there, unfortunately, is some validity to that. But I don't want to get into the discussion either. So,
as a concerned tribal member and a homeowner from the Oneida Land Management Department, I'm also concerned about that, and I'd like to know about that in their next report, because my records were in that dumpster. So I want to know, what did you do, what are you doing, and what are you going to do about it? There's personal, private, confidential, privileged information of not only mine, but a lot of people that were in there. And I want to know what you're doing about it. I think the business committee is responsible, and the land commission is responsible, as well as land management. But that's my information. That's a lot of other people's information. And my doors are open. You want to ask me something? You want to know something about my house and my process and my application and everything? I'll tell you. I don't have a problem with that. There's a lot of accusations, a lot of finger-pointing on the Oneida community chat, which is a rag, in my opinion. There's no truth on there. They haven't come to me. They haven't asked me anything, but they're spreading gossip and rumors all over the place about me and my family and everything. and about me and saying that I stole from the tribe and that I had preferential treatment in the application process and stuff, which I didn't. And if you know anything about the way I'm treated with the Land Commission, you would surely know that I do not get preferential treatment over there. And now you have land commissioners that have resigned from their positions that are the ones that are alleged to be spreading those rumors and stuff. And nobody has answered me in my communications with them of what you're doing with the land commission. That's just land commissioners that are disclosing that privilege, that private privilege confidential information, which is finances among other things. So I'd like a response to that in the next report. And I'm going to get ugly pretty soon if somebody doesn't start answering me, because they're still gossiping and pointing fingers and making false accusations on the community chat and other places in the community and stuff. You want to know something about me? Ask me. I'll show you. I'll show you all my documents. I'll show you all my paperwork. I'll show you everything I did from my first mortgage to my refinancing. Whatever you want to know, ask me. I've always been open. But I want to know, what are you doing with the people that are disclosing it, and what are you doing with all those documents that were left in that dumpster, and how come nobody's held accountable for it? Because everybody's still there. They're still there on the Gaming Commission, they're still over there in the Backgrounds Department, and they're still over there in Land Management, and they're still there on the Land Commission. Four different areas, everybody's still working. That's a huge problem, and I'd like to have an answer to it.
Hence the audit.
Okay. We have that done. We have approval with support. We're going to move into the school board report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just want to focus on a couple of highlights from the report. First of all, we have a new officers for the board. I was elected as the chair. Priscilla Dessart is our vice chair, and RC is now our secretary for the school board after our election of officers. Couple of highlights from the report that I wanted to share. Of course, many of you are aware that we did have one teacher that was recognized and awarded for her 40 years of service in September, which is where she achieved that, and that's Miss Joylyn Cornelius. So just wanted to make sure that we acknowledge that, because it's quite an achievement for the organization as a whole to have somebody reach 40 years of service. So we have a team that is working with the board to develop some kind of a internal process for recognition within the school system. So, and that's going to be at the board's discretion in terms of how they operate that, who gets recognized, how it's going to do. So there's a subcommittee that is working on that, because we think it's something that, you know, even though the organization doesn't have that process anymore in terms of recognizing substantial years of service and things like that, other than the event that comes forward with the business committee, the board felt that it was necessary to do something internally. So we're working on that right now. Also, some highlight is that we've had four staff that have earned their master's degree in reading from UW-Oshkosh. That was Shelley Stevens, Keita Cleaver, Melissa Cron, and Kim Ryder Summers. So that's quite an achievement for us as well. The Striving Reader Grant was continued for the second year. That brings in an additional $253,000 for funding through 6th through 12th for the reading program that we have. Just Move It Oneida. The program moved over to the Oneida Nation Elementary School, and we had a very good turnout. There was about 150 people that attended that event that was held in January. They are going to continue to hold their events through the Oneida Nation Elementary School, through the Diabetes Prevention Program, and the Just Move It Oneida will be held there, basically to accommodate inclement weather situations and things like that. Parent-teacher conferences were held on the 6th of February with a very good turnout.
And the numbers in terms of our enrollment for the Oneida Nation School System is a total of 425, which is 321 elementary students and 104 high school students. One thing that I wanted to also point out is I know that in the news there's been a lot of issues over at Preble High School, and that's still under investigation, but I wanted to basically share the fact that we, within the Oneida Nation School System, monitor our events like that with violence or any kind of fighting or anything that, that takes place throughout the month. Those are reported on a monthly basis by our principals to the board so that we can keep track of items or areas like that. And the last, since the beginning of the school year, we've essentially had less than one event over at the high school. So last month's events were zero. So we do keep track of what is happening so that we don't find ourselves in the situation like other school districts. So we are monitoring those kinds of activities. With that, that pretty much summarizes what we are doing. The board as a whole is in the process right now of completing a roles and responsibilities training with Dr. Thomas Joint. We're working to identify what specific roles and responsibilities are with the school board as a whole. And then we are scheduling also for a retreat where we will be working on revising and updating all of our policies and procedures for the school board. So Friday is our award ceremony for honors, so if you are available, we would welcome your attendance at that. That is at the Oneida Nation Elementary School in the Big Gym at 2:15. And then next week on Wednesday, we'll be hosting the Family Fun Night, which is also a activity that is sponsored by the Special Diabetes Program for Indians. So any questions?
Motion to accept the report.
A motion by David Jordan to accept the report, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Good to hear that Joy Lynn is going to have that celebration or that honoring. Well deserved. Okay. LOC.
A motion to approve the January 15 meeting minutes.
Second.
We have a motion by Brandon Stevens to accept the meeting minutes January 15th, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 2, resolution, sovereign immunity law amendments.
We have Lynn here. Can go through some brief overview, or Tani? Review of.
The amendments were just intended to provide a limited automatic waiver of sovereign immunity for tribal officers, employees, and agents to testify as witnesses or produce documents where a court of competent jurisdiction like state court or a duly authorized official has issued a subpoena requiring their testimony. And so I believe these amendments were just brought about so that it would streamline the process, essentially.
Make a motion to approve the resolution of sovereign immunity law amendments.
A motion by David Jordan is stated.
Second.
Supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Finance Committee meeting, minutes of February 7th.
Up here.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I don't.
You got him?
Yeah, I got him, yeah.
Okay. We have a motion to approve by David Jordan.
Second.
Supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Motion carries.
Abstain.
One abstention. Tina Danforth. CDPC, at this time, no report.
We'll go to the GTC area.
Okay. Item 10, GTC, Council, number one, withdraw call for special GTC meeting by Ed Delgado.
The chairman wasn't able to be here to talk about this item. He's at the Great Lakes Intertribal Council meeting today and State of the Tribes address in Madison. He is asking us to not schedule this item for the March 22nd date and that we go back into planning and decide when to bring forward his request.
I'm suggesting that we keep the March 22nd date and use it for other agenda items.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the process of scheduling a work meeting with us so that we can decide what items to put on the agenda for a March 22nd meeting and then look at the April 6th agenda.
I'd like to just also note that I believe December 18th, there was a petition submitted to the Secretary's office regarding Seven Gens Corporation, and I believe Loretta was the person who submitted that, and I think that was going to be considered jointly with Ed's reconsideration, so I think for March 22nd, that should be added to that agenda. That's a standing petition, and it needs to be addressed at some point, and I think it would be timely to do so.
So what's your wishes?
Yeah, there's so many balls up in the air right now about how to handle this, and so I guess I would just take no action. I think maybe the recommendation is no action, and then I'll meet with the chairman to see if we need to have a special BC meeting to consider this. The deadline date is February 19 when we need to take any materials to the printer. So we'll have to move quickly.
He'll be back Friday.
Is he back tomorrow?
He'll be back at the end of tomorrow. So I guess I would defer this to a special BC meeting to be held before February 19th for the business committee to decide whether they're going to go forward with the agenda items regarding the call for consideration of the December 15 GTC action or schedule different items for that
second
agenda.
Okay, we have a motion by Patty Heft.
Yes.
Or a slight documentary motion.
Sorry.
Supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposition, Tina Danforth.
Mr. Chairman, I'm opposing for the record because a petition was submitted timely on December 18th, and I was with the understanding that would be addressed jointly with the chairman's request on March 22nd, and this has not been dealt with timely. And for us to even to try and consider to come up with an agenda between now the 12th and the 19th is not very responsible, and I'm not available. I will be out on vacation. And
I think that can all be part of the discussions that we have with the chairman. I've had several discussions about the matter, but there's very, very low attendance in some of them, so. But well, we can continue them conversations. So we have a motion with support. It's been approved. One opposition, Tina Danforth. And discussion, Linda.
I'd just like to ask the business committee what their process is. Is it documented somewhere in which you utilize to call GTC meetings? And I ask that question because as a general tribal council member, I submitted several petitions almost a year ago in March, and those matters still have not come before the General Tribal Council. So I guess I'm wondering, you know, and I'm looking for a reasonable, rational, intelligent response as to why those matters haven't come before the General Tribal Council yet. And then you have matters that have just come in maybe a month ago that seem to be really urgent and
Well, I think that it was just explained these by both the treasurer and the secretary that they are of the same topic.
So they I'm talking about the ones that were filed back last March, and you got things that just came in. So,
and I think as senior policy analyst, Linda, that you know where the procedure would begin, and it's within a conversation amongst the chairman's office as well as the business committee members, not an open public. So,
I'm just wondering why all the petitions haven't been brought to GTC yet, I guess, to be point blank with you, is why hasn't the matter, specifically the one that I petitioned for, because a lot of people are asking me to bring the property tax issue before the General Tribal Council, has not come yet, and it's almost a year since it's been submitted. That's the one that's on the top of my mind. I'd have to go look back in my records at home to see what other ones were filed as well, but that was an important one. So,
all the petitions go to the secretary's office, and we rely upon those submissions to be brought forward to this agenda. And that's been the process.
So I don't even know that that even came for the review process to be distributed for financial, legislative, and the other processes that go with that. So I'll send a letter. Thank you.
Or ask the chairman whose office you work for. I would think that would be able to, we would be able to during work time.
Yeah.
Okay. Loretta, you had something?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if I can add anything to the clarity of this, but I did have a conversation with the chairman, and my understanding is that he intends to pursue the agenda that he was that he's working on in this matter of reconsideration of the action that was taken on the seven regarding the Seven Gens Corporation. Apparently, we both have the same or similar considerations for that matter, and that's the key word is reconsideration. And I asked him if he wanted myself to write several points on what that means, or what it means to me as a submitter of the resolution. And I would do that for any agenda that he is giving to you. And I think this is a matter of utmost urgency, or I wouldn't put the time and energy into it that I have done. I think it's critical to the Oneida Nation. So I just wanted to let you know that I have had a conversation with him on the matter, and as far as I know, we're concurrent and have the same or similar intentions on the matter. So, Yanko.
Thank you. Kathy.
Thank you. I'm just curious why the chairman's not here. It's such a serious and such a important matter. You know, first you...
Well, I think you can get those
answers. It's so important.
His assistant is...
Well, yous are part of it.
And you're just explaining
that. Because
the
questions are coming here to you.
Right, Kathy. But we're here to try to fulfill the agenda needs. Those questions could be answered at the chairman's office by his receptionist.
So you started to dissolve the Seven Gens then, right? Because that's what over 800 General Tribal Council members told you to do.
Those are the efforts.
So I'm going to assume that you already started it.
Yes.
And then all these little games of reconsideration and petition and all this stuff. Because way back in May...
Again,
we could have been told everything
those,
that we're still not being told. Way back in May. So all of a sudden it's of utmost importance.
Chairman's office. Okay.
Mr. Vice Chair, I just want to just give an overview of the pending business before the GTC. In 2013, we had 18 petitions submitted and one referendum question. In 2012, we have 8 referendum questions. We're still addressing some of them yet this year. We've had 9 GTC meetings in 2013. This year, the petition that Linda Dallas is talking about was a petition she submitted in March of 2013, and it has been a year. But because of the amount of business that these items are being prioritized and put on agendas as we come forward. Now, we're going to do things a little different in 2014. We have set already 6 dates for GTC meetings so that it'll be easier to move items to a meeting date. The dates for this year are February 16th, a Sunday. We'll have our annual meeting, which is rescheduled due to weather. March 22nd is the next date, and we're still in discussions yet about what the agenda will be. If we don't move the Seven Generations items to that agenda, there are actually 3 items related to Seven Generations. The call by the chairman, the petition that was submitted in December by Loretta, and a petition that was earlier sent submitted by Frank Cornelius.
What is
April
that?
6th. I think it was related to when he would hear his earlier petition.
I thought that was addressed on the 15th.
No, that was, he submitted 2 petitions in 2013. April 6th.
Mr. Chairman, I can appreciate what Patty's running through this list of GTC requests, but it's really not appropriate because we're here to talk about the GTC meeting reconsideration that Ed Delgado submitted.
And I think it's important because these were the questions that were raised, so I'm just quickly giving everybody an answer. April 6th is the next date, so we're going to juggle between March 22nd and April 6th what business will go on those agendas. April 6th, we were originally slated to put Linda Dallas's petition on that agenda. We may end up dealing with it on March 22nd, depending on what the business committee decides during their work meeting before the 19th. Then we have the semi-annual meeting, July 7th. The budget meeting, September 22nd, I believe it's a Monday. And then we have November 15th set aside. We don't have any business scheduled for that date yet. But we've already received, I think, two other petitions in addition to Loretta's. So we have a lot of business that is going before the General Tribal Council.
Okay. That's a lot of information. Thank you for sharing that, Patty. I think we're going to end discussion on that. Item 1, we'll move into item 2, petitioner Lizzie.
What is
Lizzie.
The action? We took action.
You just voted on it.
Right. Yep, and you made a statement for the record.
That's right.
And you opposed.
Okay. So item 2 is petitioner Lizzie Lori Mouse.
This is before the business committee to acknowledge receipt of it. It will be sent to the appropriate areas for analysis and given back to us in 30 days to set a date. And this is the process that we use for all the petitions. They come before the business committee so that it's official that you've received it. And then you set the date.
So this is just a motion to
acknowledge receipt.
Receipt, yeah.
And then ask for the appropriate analysis. It's a fiscal, a legislative, a policy one. And get that to us in 30 days.
Okay. I'll make a motion to accept receipt of the petition and to for it to follow through the process, the financial, the fiscal, legislative, and administrative analysis.
Second.
Within 30 days?
Yes.
Yep. We have a motion by Brandon Stevens as stated, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in support of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving to unfinished business, item 1, the approved National Violence Prevention Resource Center consultant agreement for gang prevention awareness.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to defer this to our March 12 meeting when the chairman will come back with a recommendation.
Okay, we have a motion by Patty Heft. Need support.
Support.
Supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention. Motion carries. Okay, and item 2, approve gang prevention and awareness community meeting schedule.
Mr. Vice Chair, the same kind of motion. I make a motion to defer this to the March 12 BC meeting when the chairman will come back with a recommendation.
We have a motion by Patty as stated. Need support?
Second.
Supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions. Motion carries. Okay, item 3, designate use of Oneida Hotel room collections.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to defer this to our March 12th meeting when the chairman will bring back a recommendation. He's currently working with Legislative Affairs on a recommendation.
Okay.
Second.
A motion by Patty Heft is stated, supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention. Motion.
Abstained.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries. Move into new business. The item 1 with several attachments.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we defer items A through R to our February 26 BC agenda, which will allow the business committee to have a work meeting before then with the division directors and HR and finance so that we can review our hiring and compensation during this new cost containment period.
Second.
A motion by Patty Heft, and that's all in a reflection of the employment compensation benefits. That motion has been supported by Paul Ninham. Debbie?
I would like to request consideration of two of those positions that are listed for the Comprehensive Health Division, specific for the purposes of safety within our pharmacy. The two positions that are listed are item F and item G, and those two positions are basically, we've had the resignation of a sub-relief pharmacist who comes in to fill in for the tribal hired pharmacists that are working. If we don't have that sub-relief position in place, we have nobody to fill when people are out sick, when they're on vacation, you know, and that position itself does not work that many hours. It's only when there's an absence that we call that position in. But it's critical that we have a body there to call in. Because if we don't, then we're at risk of increasing the amount of wait time, the safety factors related to filling the actual number of prescriptions that we're currently doing within the pharmacy. Letter F is the certified pharmacy technician. This position as well is directly related to safety. This position was approved in June to increase the workforce levels within pharmacy based upon the volume that we are currently putting out within pharmacy. And basically what we're asking for, we have held off on filling that position as long as we possibly could, but our volume continues to increase on a regular basis, which is the need for filling that position. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you heard it. I don't know, it would require an amendment to the motion. The motion was to defer all items. The request would be to separate items F and G.
I'll make an amendment to change F and G.
Support.
Okay. We have an amendment to the motion, main motion by David Jordan, supported by Melinda Danforth. The main motion would be, as stated earlier,
The amendment is to exclude F and G from the deferral. So we would approve F and G with that amendment.
Yes.
All the rest would be on hold until our next BC meeting.
Thank you. So we have a motion with support.
Or we have the amendment first.
We have an amendment with support. All those in favor of that amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries. Now we'll vote on the main motion. As stated earlier, regarding the compensation being deferred, or the compensation employment being deferred to a later meeting, all those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries. Thank you, Geraldine. Item 2, approved letter of cooperation for Becky Webster for Walden University Research Project.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion by Patty Heft to approve, supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 3 is approved Wisconsin Department of Corrections use agreement and lease office space.
Motion to approve.
Motion by David Jordan to approve.
Second.
Supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Item 4, approved government transition plan for 2014 newly elected OBC.
Motion to delete from the agenda. This team will be presenting a plan that was premature at this time.
We have a motion to delete the item.
I don't think it's premature. I just think that we're working on it through the BC work meetings.
That's what I meant.
So, thank you.
Okay. Still need support.
Second.
We have a motion by Patty F., supported by Melinda Danforth. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Travel reports. Got anything to say about that, Paul? Item 1 is government-to-government meeting.
Yeah, I just wanted to state that the Vice Chairman and I traveled out with one of our division directors, and we were asked on behalf of Warm Springs Tribe in Oregon. They traveled us out there, put us up in their hotel and stuff, and what we had talked about with them were some food sovereignty initiatives. We're also talked with them about if there's any type of assistance or collaboration that we can come together with around food and around the food production center. What they're looking for is they're looking for someone to help them with a food production center. And so they had heard about Junhenkwa. They had heard about our initiatives here with the food hub. They heard about our initiatives with the food center as well. And so that's how we got out to Warm Springs. And I had some of the best salmon that I've ever eaten and probably that anybody has ever eaten. And, you know, it's one of those things where we hope that we can, you know, start some trade routes again, you know, or around food. And so I think this was a really good trip that we had. Mr. Vice Chairman, if you want to add on to that.
Just that, and, you know, for those that may not be familiar, Warm Springs area is made up of the consortium of Nez Perce, Umatilla, Warm Springs, as well as the, who's the fourth tribe up there? Nisqually?
Yeah. Nez Perce.
Yeah. Yeah. Currently, they're doing activities such as netting, big boat fisheries in the channel, on the coastline, and they're barely making a dent in that. Right now, I think there's somewhere years they go from 3 to 15% of their active, of what they've got available in their marketplace and within their treaty rights. They're looking at the opportunity to grow that, and they're looking at outreach to different tribes throughout the nation to help support those efforts to stabilize the food economy, as you know, when it comes to seafood as well as just the fisheries overall. Very nice trip. It was extremely generous of them to pay for all of those activities on their behalf and have us attend that. But I think those are the type of activities that we as governmental representatives can go out and do that initial handshake, get the overall, bring it back to you, and then put our staff to work on those efforts. You know, those in the technical teams that are able to pull that all together, whether it's environmental or finance area, land division, those type of things, to really move the peg ahead for our relationships with other tribes. So there again, I appreciated the opportunity to do that, even though we had to jam 30 hours in 18 hours. It was well worth it, worth the effort. And I think those are the type of things that we should be moving for, you know, based upon the earlier the discussion on trying to find efficiencies within our abilities. So
Mr. Vice Chairman, I just wanted to state one more point in that. I think we started initiated some really good partnerships with the Warm Springs tribes. And what we had done is we invited five folks from Warm Springs to the Food Sovereignty Summit that we're going to be holding here in the middle of April. And so we've got a couple of council people that will be here, and we've got three technical staff people coming from the Warm Springs tribes. And so they're going to share some more of more information around the regarding their salmon fishing around the Columbia River. And so we're looking forward to collaborating with them and looking at these partnerships.
Brenda, you want to go out there?
Yes. I've got a process question or procedure question. So when you say that you went out there and you're initiating this work to bring, so that our tribe can start doing some additional work, is that something that the business committee decides as a collective before you go out there, after you come out there in your work meetings? I'm just trying to figure out when the entire business committee says, yes, organization, this meets our goal, our strategy, strategic vision, whatever it is. So, boom, go to work, and that gives the organization as a whole the go-ahead. So it's a procedure question.
And an excellent one. So I can just give you a overview of how it came to be for us. Yes, the opportunity came from their leadership. We then brought it here, got the approval to attend, and then so we did get the full support of the business committee to do that. And now I guess I turn it over to that process side on how we can find efficiencies in that and how to hand that folder over to the staff so that they can go to work.
I appreciate your question. We need to do that. And it is a process question, and it's a process that I don't know if we really have it, in place here, where we are efficient. One thing that I do know is that, through the quality of life and as well as with planning, I know we're starting to do a lot more work with the comprehensive plans that we've had in the 16 different elements, and I think they were given direction. I don't know if that was the finance office, but, to try to figure out where does that fit within our organization with the division directors? And so I know that we are going to be having those conversations. Where do things fit? How do we get it to point B and C and D? Where we can get some of these, dust the plans off, and bring some of these things to fruition for the community.
Mm-hmm. Is anybody going to support it?
Mr. Chairman, accept the report, please.
Okay. Yeah, motion by David Jordan to accept the report, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Yeah.
Having fun talking about it.
Yeah. Item two, budget appropriations meeting. Yeah. Is that called BAM? Just wondering.
Yeah.
Motion to accept the report.
Okay, second. We have a motion to accept the report by David Jordan, supported by Patty Heff. A few highlights after. So all those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
Okay, and I apologize. I put it on the agenda and submit the paperwork. But the report is basically going on the budget appropriations when sequester was happening. I met with the National Congress of American Indians vice president and president, and they asked us to have a meeting, to set up a meeting with Paul Ryan, since he is one of our representatives in Wisconsin, and also the chairman of the joint, the committee, House Committee on Finance, which is the most powerful committee at that time. And they will set up a meeting with Patty Murray, who is the Senate Committee Chairwoman on Appropriations and the Senate side, second most important person in Congress at the time. So we jointly set up a meeting, two meetings, in concert with NCI, National Congress of American Indians, to push forward the Native American initiatives as far as the sequester. So we had our initiatives within a budget deal. And so we got our points across, and to Indian countries, you know, surprised we got a lot of our things back in to the budget with a surplus. You know, so I can't really say we had all the credit just for those couple meetings, but everything that we asked for was pretty much in the sequester when the resolution came back out. And so that's kind of why it's important why we do this. And not only the time Chairman just said yesterday, it's like we go to all these places with a laundry list, a grocery list, and we don't come back with any groceries. And this is one of those times where we came back with groceries in, you know, in an amount of billions of dollars. And we can't really put a price tag on that and say how important these meetings are and meeting with these people and getting some of the things that we're working on. And also within that trip, I was invited to a meeting with Secretary Duncan of Education, one of the President's cabinet members, and we talked about education needs for our Indian kids. And he brought up the mascot issue, which, you know, to everyone, mascot issue is not, you know, one of the highest priorities. But I put it in the context that, you know, we need education, the educational curriculum in our schools that will teach our kids about Native Americans, that will teach them about tribal sovereignty, that will teach them about, you know, our histories and how important that is to our history, American history. And so we get a vibrant, well-educated set of, you know, adults when they turn, you know, it's time to vote, when it's time to be in politics, when it's time to you know, to be engaged in their community, that they know about Indian tribes. And I think that's what we're lacking in our education, and that's why we have the symptoms of mascots. I don't care about mascots. It doesn't hurt me to be called a mascot. But the underlined understanding of why mascots are still around is very prevalent, that because modern society and culture doesn't understand why tribes exist, what tribal sovereignty is, and what our contributions to America have been. And so that's what I explained to Secretary Duncan, and I had his attention for, you know, about 5 minutes specifically on that topic, and I pulled that away from the mascot issue, and I said, this is a bigger issue. This is why we have poverty. This is why we have, you know, desolate conditions, because we're treated in a particular way as less than, as a dependent nation. And so those are the contexts that I put that mascot issue in, making sure that he knows that he needs a better curriculum and push out of the White House, that he's teaching all our kids, not just Indian kids, all our kids about our contributions together. So, I mean, those types of things, you know, just fortunate getting out there and putting Oneida on the map. And if you listen to this, the State of the Indian Nation address in Washington, D.C., presented by President Clasby of National Congress of American Indians, he gave tribute to the Oneida Nation in their efforts through the budget process and getting that budget, the federal budget with the Indian priorities in there. And so if you go back and listen to that, he does do that for us. And we were a major contributor to Indian country in all 566 tribes. And I can't stress that enough. And when we get the drawback and say, why are you guys traveling so much? You know, and some travel isn't needed, but there's travels like this really need to happen. And the impact is where we bring back the groceries and say, we have stuff to eat now. We have money to help our individuals that really need it. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Very well stated as well, Brandon. And that's what makes us proud of our young leaders that are going out there and fighting that fight for us. So all of those kind of efforts is what the government should be doing. And it's really good to hear those kind of reports come back where he's got a full bag of groceries now. Instead of, you know, so, and I, the director of education last year, I made him quit eating his salad, so I knew I had his attention as well. And so it's good that he's getting barraged with those efforts on behalf of Oneida. So appreciate that. Good stuff. And you just can't wait till David gets in the room, because then. So, do we have a motion on that? Okay. Travel request.
Motion to deny based on the new cost containment measures enacted today. For the first one regarding gaming NICA.
Okay.
Second for discussion, Mr. Chairman.
A motion by Patty Heft to deny the request, supported by Paul Minam. All those in favor of discussion?
Question for Larry and or Relinda. I don't have a real good conscience about, you know, denying and or approving in light of just passing a resolution extending cost containment for the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin to the end of 2014. Do you have a recommendation?
I would say specific to that travel or any travel, the individual requester has to demonstrate the urgency relative to due diligence. If that means a narrative to which you can review and weigh in, I think that's appropriate. And then make good judgment based on the set of facts. On this one, I'm not altogether sure how many people are going. Maybe you default to one individual so they can bring the message back. Normally, they've had three, four, five, going so far back as when we had plane loads of people back in the day. I think those days are over, obviously.
Clearly.
But maybe designate one, and it would be incumbent upon the gaming GM to make that designation, at least so we are there. And then that message can come back, albeit filtered.
Brennan?
Yeah, I guess it is difficult just passing it and everything, and I would ask that we would defer this and maybe have management come. I mean, she could also even if we do delete it or.
Jeez. It's not till May.
Right. Yeah. They'd have some time.
Yeah.
Yet.
I would. Yeah. I would. So that's why what Patty's motion earlier was very important. Just saying that we need to discuss a lot of these things because there's a lot of things that get caught in the net because we're saying broadly
right.
Doing this and. I guess I can agree with the motion. I was going to say no at first. But
yeah, I think we can deny today, but then it doesn't preclude the gaming general manager from reworking it
right.
And coming back with, she still has time yet, yeah. A new recommendation.
Same, the same request.
And just change it so it doesn't have to be a procedural exception even.
Right.
I mean, you know, just.
Three, right?
What determines procedural exception? Is it three and above?
There's
going to the same place?
Normally three in the regular process.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the rule we just enacted was...
All the way across.
No. No soup for you rule. Okay.
I can understand sending one individual to this, but I mean, it would be great to see Louise here for that topic unless,
she can read
unless you're here for it. No.
No.
You're not here for the...
No.
Okay. Then I would okay. I would recommend that we go through with the motion you made, otherwise defer it.
Let's stick with the motion.
Okay. We have a motion to item one, gaming procedural exception, to deny the request by Patty Haft, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item two, second annual economic development summit.
Motion to approve.
From the chairman.
A motion to approve based on the new cost containment measures that allow for the government to travel.
Support.
A motion by Patty Heft is stated, supported by Tina Danforth. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposition, Melinda Danforth. Abstentions? Motion carries.
For the record, I'm opposing due to the cost containment measures that were just put in place.
And I think that is part of another discussion that we need to have because I've been to several of the same meetings that the chairman has been attending, and I'm back the same day. So, I mean, there's options to do that, and it costs the tribe $30 in gas. It's not my vehicle. So, anyway. There is other options, another discussion that can happen. Item three, Summit of Federation of United Tribes in Baraboo, Chairman.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Patty Heft.
Support.
Supported by Tina Danforth. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item four, Native American Finance Officers Association Conference. Tina.
Yeah, just for the record, the NAFOL will be paying for my hotel and airfare.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Melinda Danforth to approve the request.
Support.
Supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
Abstain.
One abstention. Tina. Reports again. Linda, Chief Counsel report. Acceptance.
Executive session stuff.
Motion to accept Chief Counsel report.
We have motion to accept Chief Counsel report. Patty Heft, supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 2 in executive. Oneida Seven Gens report.
Motion to table until the business committee can go back into executive session today to discuss this item again.
We have a motion by Patty Heft to table, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Audit Committee, Item B, Audit Committee ratified terminology of BC resolution, tribal theft consequences.
Motion to approve. Reaffirm.
Yeah.
Motion to reaffirm BC resolution 12993A, tribal theft consequences.
Support on the motion.
Yeah, I guess the discussion was in the form of a memo from the chairman stating the reaffirmation of the resolution of 93.
Yeah, to direct the chairman. Yeah. I concur. Yeah.
So what's the motion?
The motion will be to direct the chairman. To send a letter to...
To whom it may concern... who internal audit is dealing with.
Okay.
I guess.
To direct the chairman to send a letter to the internal audit director that reaffirms
the resolution 93.
BC resolution 12993A.
Okay, we have a motion by...
I'm just restating it. It's
David Jordan, supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions. Motion carries. Item 2 is December 19th meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Melinda Danforth to approve the minutes, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention. Motion carries. Item 3 is internal audit December report with attachment A.
Motion to accept.
Motion to accept by Patty Heft.
Second.
Supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 4. Approve the following audit reports, Cage Vault and Slot year-end audit.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Brandon Stevens, supported by Paul Ninham to accept. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions. Motion carries.
Mr. Vice Chairman, just a note that the motion will reflect that it also says and lift the confidentiality requirement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Unfinished business. Reorganization of Enterprise Division regarding review of farm and printing operations.
Motion to defer to our February 26th meeting.
So... What about A?
We didn't come up with any recommendations.
No, we didn't.
We're still discussing.
But the extension, does that fall within the date that you're talking
that'll
about?
Be a separate action.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion by Patty F. This stated to defer.
To defer the reorganization items on the printing and the farm to our next BC meeting.
The... Executive session?
For motion. Executive session, yes. Yes, to defer to the February 26th meeting the reorganization of farm and printing for executive session.
Support.
Okay, the motion was made by Patty Heff, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Extend the internal division director additional duties.
I'm not sure. Geraldine, did that interim status expire?
That's what I was trying to get to on that last part.
Yeah, so I...
Make a motion to extend for until 30 days.
Motion by David Jordan to extend the additional duties assignment.
Second for discussion, Mr. Chairman.
David Jordan, supported by Paul Ninham. Discussion.
Does that go back, Geraldine, or is that retroactive then? Or they're
it just continues.
It just continues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have a motion with support. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
Two oppositions, Melinda Danforth.
I would like to make another motion to go along with that, is that a plan has to be set within the 30-day period to come up with recommendations from the business committee on where we're going to go.
Okay.
That's my motion.
Abstentions. No abstentions. The main motion, are they?
This was a separate motion.
Okay. Motion passes. The initial motion passes.
I made a second motion.
Second motion by David Jordan to tie this up within 30 days, supported by Melinda Danforth. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposition, Tina Danforth. Motion carries. So, I get a little confused there because it says to extend the additional duties, and it sounds like we got tied into compensation at the same time. So, because we can leave the farm without supervision, unless there is some clarity to that, those type of things anyway. Item 2, request the legal review of tribes' agreement with the PTAC Center.
Motion to accept the report.
A motion by Brandon Stevens to accept the report.
Support.
Supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposition, Tina Danforth. Abstentions? Motion carries. New business. Item 1, 2014 employee compensation benefits. We're going to go into item A, Environmental Health and Safety Division, to approve the title reassignment.
I would make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to defer that to our February 26th agenda so that we can consider
Second.
This as part of the work meeting. Regarding how we're going to implement cost containment measures.
Could you just change your motion to include A, B, and C?
A, B, and C.
A, B, and C.
Concur.
We have a motion by Patty Heff that stated including items A, B, and C, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Two abstentions, Brandon Stevens and Tina Danforth. Motion carries. Approve limited sovereign immunity waiver, Wells Fargo merchant processing agreement.
Motion to approve.
Vice
motion
Chairman.
By.
I speak for in regards to D, C, under employment compensation and benefits. We have a training and development manager who's going on a maternity leave on the 17th of March. And it's not a new hire. It's just to put someone in her place for a 90-day period. And we're not hiring that another person to take the training and development curriculum analyst place. We're just putting someone from the department to help oversee that department while she's out on maternity leave. So I don't know if you can go back and do an exception with that or if you would consider an exception for that.
And those are the kind of things, it's like
We're going to sort those out.
Yeah, we can sort them out, but I think it they ain't breaking no laws. They're just, if that can be done through HRD process rather than they're again up here, because they're just trying to be effective.
Well, cost containment resolution speaks to job reassignments, so that's one of the things that Patty's asking for us to sit down and work out, is because in these kinds of instances, it is an increase to somebody else's pay, yes, which is a cost. So while they're not hiring another position, I think that's where we have to be very clear, because we also have the instances where positions are revenue-generating positions. So do we sacrifice, you know, those are the kind of considerations that need to be made, and, you know, we're unclear. So
and we
support the motion. I did already.
Yeah.
Did we vote on it already?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
So I'm done.
So again, that can be part of the discussions, though.
Right, that we're going to organize.
That'll be coming up. Okay. And you've got time, and you said March 17th?
So. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Sorry, I missed you. Item 2, the Wells Fargo Merchant Processing Agreement. We had a motion by Tina Danforth, I believe.
Second.
We have support, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Identify impacts, action steps, and response to docket number 12TC.
Motion to defer to the next business committee meeting.
A motion by Melinda Danforth to defer to the next business committee meeting. Seconded by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention. Brandon Stevens. Motion carries. Patty.
We need to go. I would like us to move into executive session and take up the item that's on the table. So a motion to go into executive session to discuss the item that's on the table.
Support.
Motion by Patty Heft to go into executive session, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Motion to come out of executive session.
Second at 12:08.
Aye. Motion to recess until 4 p.m.
Second.
Aye.
Aye. Abstain.
Thank you.
For the record, I will not be available at 4. I will be attending a funeral.